Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, brought to you today by Simply Safe Home Security. Protect your home the smart way without the expensive long-term contracts using Simply Safe. Visit simplysafe.com/ricochet. Go right now, and you'll also get free shipping on your order and a free keychain remote worth $25. Visit simplysafe.com/ricochet. That's SimpliSafe.com/ricochet to get started. Jim Garrity of National Review is here. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And we have good, bad, and crazy martinis for you all today, starting with the good. And Jim, good martinis don't usually start with the words Charlie Crist, but that's where we start today. He, of course, is the former Republican governor of Florida, who was then a Republican turned independent candidate for Senate before getting crushed by Marco Rubio in 2010. Then he became a Democrat. He lost the governor's race in 2014, and he's now running as a Democrat for the House of Representatives. And sadly, he's probably going to win since the district has been redrawn, but he's running against incumbent Republican David Jolly. They had a debate the other night, and one of the questions was, do you plan to vote for the nominee of your party? And Charlie Crist said that he was planning to vote for Hillary Clinton, and here's how he explained why he was voting for Hillary Clinton.
I am proud of Hillary Clinton. I think she's been a very good Secretary of State, a very good senator from the state of New York. The thing I like most about her is I believe that she is steady. I believe that she is strong. I believe that she is honest, and I look forward to voting for her. Governor.
Jim, I don't know who's in that audience. Obviously, you would imagine there's supporters of both sides there. Nobody's buying that argument anymore.
I was going to say, that's awkward. and obviously the laugh line is, I believe Hillary Clinton is honest. If you've been thinking about any bridge sales, Charlie Crist is the guy to your first target audience there, your first potential sales client. But also, Hillary Clinton is steady. Kind of the wrong week to say that, wouldn't you say?
That's right.
We're not making fun of her health. Get well, Hillary. Hopefully everything's fine. But and she's strong. And yeah. So anyway, anytime people are laughing at Charlie Crist, it's good. I think your assessment of that House race is correct, and it's not an easy district for a Republican to win and keep, particularly in a presidential turnout year. When you said that the good martini rarely includes Charlie Crist, I really am hoping for the day that in a terrible orange spray tan accident, Charlie Crist will no longer be able to be able to run for future offices, ruining his plans to run as a nominee of the Green Party and Libertarian Party, and completely hit for the cycle, having run as a Republican, Democrat, and Independent, or whichever party will have him these days. So hopefully he's defeated. But if nothing else, he's given us a good moment indicating just how. This is what happens when your spin just can't fly any further.
But we have more to flesh this out, thanks to AEI. Jim, obviously the audience reaction there was very honest. They clearly don't believe that Hillary Clinton is honest. But now there are additional numbers to back that up that I find very entertaining here. This is from Mark Tyson. You see him on Fox News quite a bit. Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton are the two most unpopular presidential candidates in modern times. But as I point out in today's Washington Post, in a year of bipartisan lows, Hillary Clinton recently reached a new low when an NBC News poll found that just 11% of Americans say she is honest and trustworthy. By contrast, a 2013 public policy polling survey found that 14% of American voters believe in Bigfoot. That means more Americans believe that a large, hairy, man-like Sasquatch creature inhabits the forests of North America than believe that Hillary Clinton tells the truth. But there are other numbers from PPP. 21% of voters say a UFO crashed in Roswell and the U.S. government covered it up, so that's 10 points higher than Hillary being honest. 15% say that the government adds secret mind-controlling technology to television signals. 14% say that the CIA was instrumental in creating the crack cocaine epidemic out of America's inner cities in the 1980s. And 13% of voters think Barack Obama is literally the Antichrist. So all of those are higher than the number of people who think that Hillary Clinton is honest. But, Jim, there are some things that her honesty level is higher than. Only 7% believe the moon landing was faked. Only 5% believe in chemtrails. And I know this will shock you. Only 4% believe that shape-shifting lizard people control our world by taking on human form and gaining political power to manipulate our societies.
These beliefs are not mutually exclusive. So. I can believe that Hillary Clinton is dishonest and that lizard people run society. Come on, this is, you know, the chemtrails explain it all, Greg. And what's more, like the observation there. Look, I've seen pictures of Bigfoot. I have not seen pictures of a secure server for Hillary Clinton. We've got the FBI report talking about which emails were in there, and also we've seen the Guccifer hacks and stuff like that. I'm wondering about these people. We're like, once you're saying, yeah, I believe Hillary Clinton is honest, that's just a leap of faith. You know, that's just a matter of, I know this isn't true, but I want it to be true, so I choose to live in denial. It's probably psychologically unhealthy to be in a just to refuse to acknowledge any flaws in your heroes. And I'm reminded of the supporter who was at the Trump event in D.C. last week, a woman said she had been a birther. But now that Trump said that Obama was born in the United States, she believes that whatever he says is true. I'm going to outsource my perception of the world to this guy, and hopefully that'll be enough. So there you go.
That is perhaps the scariest thing. All right, on to the bad martini now. And Jim, we've been feeling better and better about the potential fate and the majority in the U.S. Senate, regardless of how the presidential race turns out. We've talked a lot about Rob Portman and how he seems to have a very comfortable lead in Ohio. The Democrats essentially pulling out there from a national party perspective. They're also largely giving up on Florida because Rubio's got a fairly healthy lead and it's really expensive. So they're looking for other Senate seats to pick off, and unfortunately they found two that we thought were fairly safe that are now pretty much neck and neck. Both of these stories come to us from Politico. Republicans are privately fretting that Richard Burr, the North Carolina Republican senator running for a third term, isn't campaigning aggressively enough for his Senate term and potentially risking a GOP seat that the party should otherwise have in the bag. But in his usual easygoing form, Burr brushed off any concerns about national Democrats spending at least $6.7 million to unseat him, a forceful play to make a red-leaning state competitive less than 2 months before the election. He says, quote, "It's great. I think anytime they waste money, it saves my colleagues from having it go after them. Am I complaining that the last Quinnipiac poll had me up six? No, I'm probably in better shape than we dreamed." However, there is a new Elon University poll out showing that he is now losing his race to a very poorly known Democrat in that race. So that's not good. And then over in Missouri, Roy Blunt is in trouble. Roy Blunt was supposed to be an easy win. He's now losing by 2 points in the latest Emerson University poll. And now the National Republican Senatorial Committee has placed its first $270,000 ad buy supporting Blunt in St. Louis. And more ads are on the way. The Democrats are committing $3.5 million to that state. So, Jim, it would obviously help if there was a stronger presence at the top of the ticket. There's a lot of other factors going on in North Carolina, including Pat McCrory and the debate over the HB2 bill. And in Missouri, it's hard to know exactly what's dragging Roy Blunt there, except perhaps Donald Trump. So how worried are you about these seats?
Genuinely worried. And it's frustrating because I guess it was 2010, Richard Burr was running for re-election, and public policy polling, I believe that the head of that polling firm has said he openly despises Richard Burr, right? Like, they're a Democratic firm, they hate Richard Burr, they, you know, of all, and I used to believe for a long time, the further away a state was from North Carolina, the more likely the public policy poll would be accurate.
Okay.
But that they really had an axe to grind against the local Republicans, and that the polls for them always looked worse there. And for a long time in 2010, Democrats had told them, we're going to beat Richard Burr, Elizabeth Dole had lost 2 years earlier, that they were coming ahead. And Richard Burr won re-election pretty comfortably. That was not really that competitive a state back then. Now, presidential year turnout's going to be a little bit higher. I'd say as of this moment, September 21st, North Carolina's looking pretty good for Trump, but not great. You know, last couple polls have him ahead by a little bit. There was a long stretch of polls that had Hillary Clinton either ahead by a little bit or tied. This is one of those states you really can't say with any great confidence it's going to be in either party's safe pile. The demographics are changing a great deal. African-American turnout is up. You're seeing the kind of the triangle of colleges down there. It's not a reliably red state anymore. Romney won it, but won it only by a little bit, and Obama won it in 2008. Because of this, it's one of the most interesting states in the union to cover, and as a result of that, you can't say, oh, Richard Burr's got the advantages of incumbency, he should be fine. Not that different from Missouri. I also note these are two older candidates. These are folks who might, you'd hate to think there's any complacency there. Trump has generally been ahead in Missouri, but looks like the governor's race out there is going to be very competitive. And look, you know, when you run with Trump atop the ticket, it's a giant X factor, and nobody knows exactly what the Republican turnout is going to be. I'm just hearing from one Republican strategist who said, oh, I think Trump's going to lose any state that he's not ahead by more than five. I have no faith in his turnout apparatus. I have no faith in the RNC, and I think Republican turnout is going to be way lower than these polls are suggesting. I don't know for certain that's going to happen, but my attitude would be, look, Republicans can't take very much for granted this year, and I'd be very, very worried about states like this. In an ordinary year, you'd say, okay, they're going to be safe. So we'll see how it shakes out, but I think there's reason for Republicans to be sweating.
Yeah, those are states that were supposed to be safe and aren't, but we do have good news about ways to keep your home safe. Thousands of people seeking home security get ripped off every day, and you get locked into those long-term contracts. You get stuck writing huge checks with no way out. It's robbery, and it costs you thousands. Now there's a smarter way to protect your home. It's SimpliSafe Home Security. And here's why it's a better choice. SimpliSafe offers superior protection with 24/7 professional monitoring and police dispatch.
There are no annual contracts. Traditional alarm companies lock customers into a three-year contract with a nasty auto-renewal clauses and pages upon pages of fine print.
Plus, you can get monitoring for less than half the cost of the traditional alarm companies. We mentioned the 24/7 professional monitoring. It starts at just $14.99 a month. You can pay at least three times that with some of those companies. SimpliSafe does not charge any activation, installation, or hidden fees.
There is a built-in cellular signal, so you do not have to pay for a landline phone. Plus, a cellular connection is faster than a landline, and it's safer. Unlike a traditional wired alarm system, burglars cannot shut it down by cutting a cable.
Plus, it's user-friendly, and it's wireless design, and it's easy-to-do-yourself installation. SimpliSafe designed a home security system that is extremely user-friendly, can be installed by anyone in under 30 minutes without even turning a screw.
Finally, there is pricing transparency. All of the costs are explained up front on the website. The customer is in control from start to finish and is never hit with extra hidden fees. Order directly on the SimpliSafe website and they ship the system to your doorstep.
It's unbeatable protection, a great value, no contracts. Head to simplisafe.com/ricochet, SimpliSafe.com/ricochet. On to the crazy martini now, Jim. And yesterday was good and bad at the United Nations. President Obama was doing what he always does at the United Nations, talking about how great he's been, scolding the rest of the world about, I'm so disappointed in you people, about all the other things we could have done. But the good news is, it's his last speech to the UN General Assembly. He has now, as of yesterday, exactly 4 months left as president. Now it's slightly less than that. But in addition to taking some jabs at Donald Trump and talking about how America has also disappointed him over the past years and decades, he also talked about why it's important for the United States and other countries around the world to see just a little bit of their sovereignty to make the UN run better, because obviously if the UN is in charge, things will run much better around the globe.
And we can only realize the promise of this institution's founding to replace the ravages of war with cooperation if powerful nations like my own accept constraints. Sometimes I'm criticized in my own country for professing a belief in international norms and multilateral institutions, but I am convinced that in the long run, giving up some freedom of action, not giving up our ability to protect ourselves or pursue our core interests, but binding ourselves to international rules over the long term enhances our security.
Jim, the only thing he said correctly there, I think, was that some people back home criticize me. And if you feel a breeze right now, I'm pretty sure that's George Washington spinning in his grave as the tenets of his farewell address are completely contradicted by President Obama.
Well, you notice when Obama addresses an international audience and he has to deal with and he mentions his domestic critics, maybe it's just me, Greg. You always get this tone of, can you believe this? I get criticized in my own country. Believe it or not. I know. It seems ridiculous. I know it's impossible. Anybody could disagree with me. Maybe I'm reading something into his inflection and tone there. But yeah, I mean, like, I guess there are a lot of things that are maddening about Barack Obama. But a big one is, for a guy who's allegedly the smartest man to ever go into the presidency, he's such an intellectual, he has such a sophisticated understanding of these global issues, and he sees all the different... He never really seems to address... Like I'd really love to... Mr. President, why do you think people are suspicious of the United Nations? Why do you think people distrust that? Why do you think Americans would be extremely reluctant to give up any authority or power to the United Nations? It's not all black helicopter conspiracies. It is not, you know, crazy Illuminati beliefs or anything like that. No. Has he paid attention to the United Nations? Has he really looked at it? Has he looked at the behavior of UN peacekeepers in these war zones and the unbelievably high rates of allegations of abuse of power and sexual abuse and things like that? Has he paid any attention to the number of the oil for food scams that were running in the UN during the pre-Iraq war days? Has he paid any attention to the sheer lining of pockets and all the different ways in which the UN, the number of times that regimes that have brutal, ridiculous human rights records end up on the Human Rights Commission? Has he paid any attention about the fact that if Israel sneezes, they get some sort of resolution denouncing them? Whereas Russia can do anything they want, China can do anything they want, all kinds of other countries have no criticism from the UN whatsoever. Does he acknowledge any of this? Does he see this? And, you know, Mr. President, what it is that you can look at all that stuff and say, okay, the UN's flawed, but we can't really pay too much attention to that. We've got to overlook those flaws. Focus on the good the UN does. And I think most of us are saying, no, we're not willing to overlook that. That matters to us. We don't have this idealistic belief in what the UN could be. We're looking at the UN as it is. And the day the United Nations gets better at this, the day the United Nations stops having all these abuse scandals, stops having the corruption, stops having this ludicrously hypocritical and one-sided denunciation of other countries for human rights abuses, then we can have a discussion about whether we're willing to have more trust with the United Nations. But until then, you know, trust has to be earned. And Obama wants to give it away. And it's just as you said, the only good news out of it is that was his last one. I'm surprised they don't bring him back every couple of years just as like for old timers day at the UN.
It just goes all the way back to his citizen of the world speech. You know, he thinks he's this great global healer. First of all, that's not true. Secondly, that's not your job. Your job is to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. And sometimes those interests are aligned with the UN. Most of the time, I would hazard to guess, they are not.
Completely agree. Don't forget which United you work for.
Jim, on that note, talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks again for being with us today. And remember, we're sponsored today by Simply Safe Home Security. Protect your home the smart way. Visit simplysafe.com/ricochet. Go right now, and you'll also get free shipping on your order and a free keychain remote worth $25. It takes only a minute to get started. Visit simplysafe.com/ricochet, SimpliSafe.com/ricochet. Tune in again on Thursday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.